Well, let's give a big hand, wonderful hand to all these people who put these videos together. I know it's work, hard work as always, okay, and it's so important, isn't it, to appreciate all those who put in wonderful, wonderful work indeed. This morning, I just want to welcome some special people in our midst. The first one is Dr. Janet Storms, okay, from Pasadena, USA. We want to welcome her to join us in this worship celebration, all right? She's here teaching at one of the theological colleges here, and appreciate you giving a heart, okay, to Malaysia. She teaches in other seminaries as well in the West, okay? So welcome, okay, Dr. Storm, to join us this morning. Also, a wonderful couple that I've never officially welcomed them here, okay, but this morning they are here, Reverend Dr. Tan Chin Wat, as well as her wife, Mrs. Tan Chin Wat. We ask them to stand, give them an official welcome, okay, to DMC, okay? Reverend Dr. Tan teaches at Seminary Theology in Malaysia. He also teaches and helps at Malaysia Bible Seminary, right, at the Extension Center that is held here in Dream Center. So people from other churches have signed up for the course or courses, okay, and some of our pastors and leaders have signed up. So thank you so much, okay, Reverend Dr. Tan, helping our guys to be good, good theologians, we hope, by the grace of God, okay, for all of us. It is so good to be back, okay, after many, many weeks away. I know some people ask me, what has happened to the pastor? I say to them, I backslided a little bit, okay, pray very hard for me, folks. No, no, just that I've been traveling, speaking from place to place. So nowadays, you actually hardly see me, okay, like this around. But this morning, we're going to read from the passage of Scripture, all right? We are working on, the topic, I am the gate that Jesus says to all of us, okay, an ongoing series that we are doing here like this. So John chapter 10. Verses 1 to 10, all right? Let's stand and read the Word of God together. Friends, as always, in honor and respect of the Word of the living God, okay? Together, church, together. 1, 2, 3, let's go. I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they don't recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus uses figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Our Father, prepare our hearts, Lord, then. We thank you for your word. Holy Spirit, you inspired thousands of years ago for our teaching, our training, our instruction, our correction, so that we, as your children, as your people, will grow up, O God, to be men and women, mighty in you, to be used by you in a powerful manner, Father. So speak and draw us in response, O God, we pray. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen, amen. Would you take your seats? Amen. I know this is a very, very long weekend. I know quite a number of people are away, but anyway, welcome, okay, in this worship celebration, okay, like this. Well, you know, as we know, last week we had our men's conference and we had a fantastic, fantastic time together. Those who have missed it, friends, get hold of the tapes, the men, I mean. Get hold of the tapes, it will really bless your heart, okay, in a wonderful, wonderful manner. In fact, I just came back from speaking also another conference, just arrived just in time for me to preach right yesterday from Jakarta, Indonesia, where I spoke at the Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship, okay, of the whole Indonesian chapter. Over 2,000 people gathered from all across Indonesia, plus several other countries as well from Asia, Africa, United States, and Central America. And what a joy it is to be able to be connected with these people like this and see the work of God's grace. Friends, you know, God is doing mighty, mighty things in Indonesia. Revival is breaking out. People by the tons are coming to faith in Jesus Christ. And it's important to continue to pray for that nation. Can a good amen for that? Okay, talking about conferences, the resistance attending the conference, thankfully not our men's conference, thankfully not this conference in Indonesia. What happened? This man, because so many things were happening in conference, he was at a loss. And so he decided to put his name tag, his name like this, I am confused. Okay, that he puts in, I am confused. My goodness, somebody at the conference saw his name and said, you got a very interesting name. Yes, I do, he said, okay. But you know what? You both sound and look very confused. Yes, he says, yes, I am. And this man said, my friend, confused is spelled not with a K but a C. Well, he said, that shows how confused I am, my friend, in life. You know, some of us are confused. But friends, you know, can I say to you, if you come to Due MC regularly, you will not be confused. Can I have a good amen for that? So come regularly, friends. There'll be greater clarity, more wonderful understanding. But it means coming regularly here and weekend worship here, which is so important as we teach and instruct you about the Word of God, as we get it connected and so we show how to live it out in your life in a powerful, wonderful manner like this. Listen. And now, as I said, we are working through this series on the I Am, as Pastor Chris has helped us to, okay, in this important series focused on the Gospel of John. A number of I Ams, friends, that Jesus Christ talks about himself. But friends, can I say that I Am is a very important and powerful two words. In fact, friends, it is distinctively Christian. In no other faith, no other religion are these two words found, I Am. Whereby, in fact, God calls himself as the I Am, right? In other words, friends, when the phrase I Am in a Christian context is used, it always implies deity or divinity. It refers to God himself who calls himself as the I Am. If you remember, friends, God spoke to Moses and told Moses to lead his people from Egypt to the promised land. And Moses says, what if I go now to your people in Egypt and telling them, God has called me to lead you all from Egypt, promised land. They might question me. They might argue with me and say, who is this God who has called you? This is exactly what happens, friends, in a conversation between Moses and God like this. Let's read together Exodus chapter 3, verses 13 and 14 together, church. Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your father sent me to you. And they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. I am has sent. Isn't it interesting? A name simply called I am. What if your father gives you the name I am and you go to school? What's your name? I am. Okay, your girlfriend asks, what's your name? I am. What kind of name it is? Isn't it? But friends, you know, that's God's name. Meaning, friends, he is always in the present. But also meaning, friends, God has no name. He's the I Am, as always he is. And therefore, to say God has a name, like, for example, Yahweh, is a mistake. Why? Because it's just a Jewish or Hebrew name for God, and that's all. In fact, there are some segments of Christians here in Malaysia, and yet trying to change like our kitab in Bahasa Malaysia, wherever the word Allah comes out, change it to Yahweh. What a tragedy. They don't understand, friends, about Christian terminology as well as the principles of Bible translation. If they understood all this, they would not want to change this kind of, because why? Then we are going back, friends, you know what, to become a religion that is more and more Jewish and Hebrew, as it were. There are even some people who prayed at the end of the prayer, they must say, we must end off in Yeshua's name. In Jesus' name is not good enough. Friends, again, sadly, we find that we're going back to sometimes legalism without our realizing, friends. Yeshua is just simply the Hebrew name for Jesus. Hello, you follow? Okay, enough of that. But basically, friends, when the word I am, or the two words I am, right, are used, okay, in Scripture, it is distinctly Christian. It refers to God himself. But the amazing thing is this, friends, that Jesus uses it on himself as well. He applies this to himself. And so in John chapter 8, in verse 58, let's read together. I tell you the truth, Jesus answered, before Abraham was born, I am. Isn't that amazing? Jesus is implying that he is God. And he is indeed. And that's why the Jews cannot tahan. They couldn't stand it. Take stones. They wanted to stone him to death, isn't it? But friends, you know, that's the reality, that when you read through Scripture, you and I are confronted as to who Jesus is. He is more than a prophet. He is more than a great teacher. He's more than everything else. He is God. And that's what Jesus says to all of us. And that's why, friends, for you and I, therefore, when Jesus applies this now in the New Testament, especially in the Gospel of John, when he calls himself as the I Am, therefore, it represents a number of things. And this morning, we're working on the I Am, the gate Jesus calls himself. I know we have dealt with I am the living bread. I am the light of the world, and there are a few more, okay? Something like 7 or 8 Jesus talks about himself. Like, I am, for example, okay, not just the light of the world. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the good shepherd. I am so many, 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 okay, that Jesus applies to himself. But this morning, we look at I am the gate. What does it mean? What does it represent when Jesus says, I am the gate? Firstly, friends, Jesus is saying that I am the passageway that is right for people in and out through me like this in a wonderful manner. And so that's why in verses 1 and 7, that's what it says to all of us. Church, come, let's read again together aloud. I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. I am the gate for the sheep. Anyone who doesn't come in and out to the gate, they are thieves and robbers. And therefore, friends, you know, it's a reminder to all of us that when we want to walk through the right passageway, it has to be through Jesus. That Jesus offers the way in and the way out for all of us. So when we walk with Jesus, friends, we will be walking correctly. When we walk with Jesus, friends, we find we'll be walking in the light and not in the dark. And this is what, friends, this same Apostle John picks it up again in 1 John chapter 1. And John writes like this to all of us. 1 John chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. Church, come, let's read together. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. When we walk with Jesus, we will never be walking in the dark, but walk in the light of life. Occasionally, when some people's lives are not right with the Lord, I ask them to come and see me. And you know, if you've been to my office in the past, I got 3 sets of chairs in my office, okay? There's one set of chairs right in front of my desk. There's a second of chairs whereby it is a kind of round table. There's a third set of chairs, which is a sofa set. So depending on where I put you, I'm communicating a very clear message. If I put you to sit with in my sofa set, then we are friends. Let's let down our hair, although not much hair to let down nowadays, and we chat and we talk. If I put you to sit at the round table, it means we're here to do work. But if I sit you right in front of my desk, then you know you're in trouble. Because I'm sitting on a seat of authority. And so sometimes I say to these people, sit here. Tell me what's happening in your life. And at the end, I will always ask them 2 questions. Firstly, how is your walk with Jesus like? How is your walk with Jesus like? There is no doubt, friends, when our lives are not right with God, our walk with Jesus will be reflected in our life. That's a reality. So tell me, what's your walk with Jesus like? Because if your walk with Jesus is right, you will not live a life the way you have lived your life. Second question, how is your devotional life like? In other words, are you spending daily time with the Word of God or not? Are you doing that? I trust all of us are doing that. Now, all those who agree say, well, not very convincing, amen. Okay, I trust we're all doing, because here in DUMC, we emphasize on daily Bible reading. That's why we got a daily Bible reading plan, isn't it? Okay, log on to the website. Okay, all the details are available. In fact, we've got to print it, okay, and we give it to everyone, okay, in church, so that each and every one of us will have a copy whereby, okay, we can begin to read, okay, the Bible through the whole year like this. I trust we're using this to help us. Why? Because it has been found consistently when our life is not right with God, we'll not be reading the Bible. We'll not take time with the Word of God. Because, friend, Jesus is ultimately revealed most of all in the Word of the living God, in the Bible itself. And that's why coming to the Word of God is so important. In fact, church, you know what? It has been found consistently when missionaries left the mission field. Consistently, when missionaries left the mission field, one of the top things that happens to us in their lives is when they start skipping reading the Bible, the Word of God daily. Friends, consistently around the world, it's been found missionaries who left the mission field is because they start off firstly by not taking time with the Word of God. And I trust here, friends, you and I. It's so important because it's in the Word of God that we know Jesus best. Can I get amen for that? And so, friends, Jesus, as the gate for all of us, it reminds each and every one of us that He offers a passageway that is right, okay, in our journey of faith, in our walk with Him. This is the second thing, friend. Jesus, when He says He's the gate, right, it also implies or represents a protection that is secure. A protection that is secure in a wonderful manner. And so the first part of verse 9 of John chapter 10, right, it says like this, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. Whoever enters through me will be saved. Now, in the original Greek, it can mean whoever who enters through me will be kept safe, will be kept safe. And it is really for all of us, isn't it? That when we are in Jesus, when we're within the gate where Jesus is, we will be kept safe, all right? We'll be protected. We'll be secure. And that's a reality for all of us, that nothing can touch us whatsoever. Nothing will be able, friends, to affect us in any way whatsoever. And that's why Jesus says to us, for example, further down in John chapter 10, verse 29. Church, come, let's read aloud together. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. No one, nothing can snatch us out from the hand of God our Father. That's assurance. That's a reality. That's a security, friends, that you and I have. No evil powers and darkness can touch us in any way whatsoever. In fact, there's a statutory body, a government statutory body down in KL. And it is known that this place actually has a lot of ghosts, evil spirits in it. And staff working there would sometimes hear strange voices and noises. Sometimes they feel eerie about the whole place. In fact, it has been found and captured on video camera whereby cars parked in the basement moved by itself. How do you like that? You park your car, you come back to your car. My goodness, the car has gone over there. And it's all captured on video camera. It's really shown. So much so that those at the top in charge were very disturbed by all this. Okay, and so the bosses right at the top there, the Malay officers say, let's call in a BOMO, okay, to deal with all this kind of terrible evil spirits, that kind of thing like this. I thought there's someone from UMC who works in that place. I said, you know, you should have said to your top officials, don't call the BOMO and bring in the coconuts, okay? I will handle it myself. Why? Because if you're from UMC and everyone from UMC is a ghostbuster and all the ghostbusters say, okay, fantastic, isn't it? And that's what it is. But anyway, okay, the BOMO came in and trying to deal and cast out all these evil spirits. And then finally, you know what? Came to the room of this person that is from UMC. Of course, this person is very disturbed. Don't want to have BOMOs around, especially in the room, okay? Feeling that the room will be violated, okay? If the BOMO comes into my room. You know what? The BOMO went from room to room, and when it came to this person's room, stood at the door of the room and said, Itu Padri Minya Bilik. This is the pastor's room. Oh, I never knew we got a pastor in a government statutory body. Not bad, isn't it? And the BOMO did not go in. The BOMO recognized that this room is unusual. It is special. And you and I know, friends, when we're in Jesus, there is no fear. No evil force, darkness can touch us. And all those agree, say. That's the confidence we have. In fact, several years ago, a brother from here at UMC, he's a CEO of a company. He said, Pastor, can I take you up to Penang to pray for my project? It was originally meant to be a 5-star hotel, a real fancy hotel. The project has been abandoned. And so my company has taken over, therefore, to put up real wonderful fancy condominium. And right at the top, a super condominium costing a lot of money. Pastor, can you come and pray? I said, sure, of course. Okay. So we went up. Okay, that particular day, and I went to a construction site and kind of talked to some of the workers, and the workers, one of them said, no, we saw a ghost moving around this place. I said, fantastic, I got business to do now. Okay, and I walked around and I saw this Indian guy. I walked towards him and said, hi, what's your name? Christopher, good to meet you. Christopher, what do you do here? Oh, I'm a supervisor. You're a supervisor, that's great. Christopher, my name is Daniel. Okay, I'm a pastor. Okay, I'm here to pray for your construction site. Really? I've never heard of a pastor coming. I've got Buddhist monks or Taoist monks coming to pray. Never come across God. I said, we do that all the time in GMs because we're constantly ghost busting all over the place. Amen. And so I said, I'm a pastor. The moment he heard I'm a pastor, you know what? He was smoking. He started putting his cigarette like that. At least he's got respect, okay, for a pastor. So are you a Christian? He says, no, I'm Catholic. God bless your heart, Christopher, you know what I mean? All right, it's very important, why? Because, friends, you know, as Christians, we have no fear whatsoever, isn't it? We can deal with these evil spirits, and they all have to go. Whatever Bomo's going to deal with, in Jesus, we can deal with anything and everything. All those agree, say, in Jesus, no fear. And that's it. That's all it is. And that's what it is for all of us, friends. That he reminds us, in Jesus, friends, he provides us real security. He provides us real protection. And therefore, as people of God in Jesus, we have no fear whatsoever. And that's what the gate is. The gate, friends, not only represents for each one of us a right passageway that we go in and out. And when we go in and out through Jesus, we'll be kept well and right in a wonderful manner. But also, friends, right, when Jesus is a gate for all of us in Jesus, there is wonderful safety, security in a wonderful manner. But more than that, friends, you know, when Jesus says, I'm the gate, it represents a person, the person of Jesus himself. All right, and that is fleshed out in this passage of Scripture, in these 10 verses, in four areas. When Jesus talks about himself as I'm the gate, firstly, friends, it represents Jesus as the true shepherd, as the true shepherd. And so verses 2 and 3, that's what it says, okay, to all of us. Let's read together again. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Jesus is a true shepherd. He genuinely cares for his sheep. More than that, friends, you notice here, he calls his sheep by name. Isn't it amazing that Jesus knows your name and my name? Hello? Are you there? So tell your neighbor, now you better watch out. He knows all of us. He knows what we're going through in our life. He knows our struggles and our pains. He wants to journey with us in our journey of life. And that's so important for all of us. He wants the very best for every one of us. And that's why David, okay, could write Psalm 23 like this, the most famous of Psalms. Okay, Psalm 23, let's read together. All right, verses 1 to the first part of verse 3 together, church. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. That's the kind of shepherd we have, friends, who is concerned for our well-being, who is concerned to ensure that we are okay in every way, who will feed us well, who will watch over us well, who also calls us by name. Names are very important, isn't it? So I try to follow the example of Jesus to call people by name. And I remember someone coming to church for the first time as they walked in, hi, what's your name? And this person told me the name. Great, welcome. Okay, DDMs. The following Sunday, this person walks in. As she was walking in at the door, I call her name. Hi, Jackie. Welcome. She was stunned. She was shocked. Friends, and because I call her name, you know what? She decided this is a church for her to come to. Oh, calling names of people can do magic. Hello? It's very important. Why? Because when we can call people by name, it means you value that person. It means you want to honor that person. Amen? All right? Do you know your neighbor's name or not? Hello, let me rewind. Do you know your neighbor's name? Find out who's your neighbor's name. It's okay. All right? It's very, very important. Friends, you know, names are very important. Okay, write this down. Names represent a number of things. Name, for example, represents the person, isn't it? Every time when we see a name, a name tag, we know it represents so-and-so, isn't it? So names always represent a person. Not only that, names would also represent character of the person. So the names that are mentioned, immediately what happens? It reminds of the character of the person. And that's the reality of it. Not only that, friends, names also represent what? Represents function, isn't it? For example, the name of Jesus. You know, and when an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph, the angel of the Lord said to Joseph, Mary is with child. Don't worry about it, wrote Joseph, because I know you're a very honorable and righteous man. And in your mind, you are thinking of divorcing Mary. All right? How could she have a child when we have not had any relationship at all? This is crazy. I'm a righteous man. Not only I want to uphold my honor, I don't want to put her under disgrace. And so, friends, an angel was sent by God to tell and assure Joseph, this child conceived by Mary is by the power of the Holy Spirit. No human being is involved. It's a special conception, unique conception. And that's why Jesus is without sin. He's sinless, isn't it? For, as we all know, okay, like this. And so, friends, you know, when Joseph said, was said to by the angel of God, and not only that, friends, in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, this angel of the Lord said to Joseph, you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from the sins. That's what Matthew 1:21 says to us. In other words, you are to call his name Jesus, which in Hebrew is Yeshua, which in Greek is Yesu. Okay? And what is the meaning of the name Jesus? It means Savior. That's why you find that Matthew 1:20 explains it. You shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from the sins. And that's the mission of Jesus, friends. He comes as a Savior. So sometimes, you know, friends, our names tell us about a function we are supposed to perform. And sometimes when our parents give us certain names, our parents has a vision, okay, of wanting us to do a certain function in life, isn't it, for all of us. So friends, you know, names are just really important and powerful. Names don't represent the person, not represent secondary character, not represent function. But friends, you know, names, fourth and finally, represent hopes, dreams, and visions. Whoever gives the name, it could be your father, your mother, your grandfather, grandma, uncle, auntie, whoever it may be who gives you that name. Listen, all right? It represents hopes and visions of people. It is like this man who's got three daughters. And so, you know, he called his first daughter because he's Hokkien speaking. He calls his first daughter Ai Sui. Wow, one who loves beauty. Then he calls his second daughter Ching Sui. Wow, fantastic. Okay, very beautiful. Then he calls his third daughter Gao Sui. Oh, this is amazing. Enough beauty, isn't it? Then many, many years later, he had got a fourth daughter coming along. He said, my goodness, what shall I call this daughter of mine? And he said, fine, I'll call this daughter of mine Koka Sui. Even more beautiful. Isn't it amazing? Why? Because names always represents also hopes and visions of people. It could be hopes and visions of your parents. It could be whoever else, whatever else. It's in for all of us. And so, friends, here is Jesus, who has got a name, and he knows our name for everyone. He names his sheep, and he calls it one one. Now, friends, you know, let me do a bit of English. Is that okay? A bit of English lesson here. One sheep, many sheep. No S. Hello? This is English lesson 101. Is it okay? Because why? Here in GMC, as you know, I'm very particular about English, about how we pronounce it and how we speak it, because we want to teach and preach and whatever, communicate good, proper British English. Hello? Non-American English. American English, very poor English, actually. Many parts of it wrong. Spelling all wrong. Really, seriously, I can tell you, point of so many spelling mistakes in American English. We're going to teach them the right, proper Queen's English, and all those agree, say, okay, say to your neighbor, let's speak properly, la. Isn't it? So one sheep, many sheep, that's all, no sheeps, okay? All right, that's the way it is for all of us like this, okay? And so, friends, you know what? Jesus knows each one of us by name. And he just sends someone here this morning, you're coming to church, you're just wondering, does this God know? Does he care what I'm going through? And that you're coming this morning, and in your heart and your mind, you are saying, God, if you don't show up, this is one last chance. If I don't hear from you, if I don't encounter you, this is the final time. This is it. And in your mind, you may even be contemplating something not smart. And I want to say to you, my friend, whoever you are that's here this morning, God is saying, my child, I know what you're going through. I know your pain, your confusion, your struggles, your hurts, your anger, your bitterness. And God says to you, my child, would you come and allow me to step into your life and make a difference? Let me step into your life and make a difference. So whoever you are, my friend, would you come at the end of the worship celebration here, right to the front? We're going to pray for you. Because that's what it is for all of us here, the privilege, the blessing, the honor of being prayed for personally. And that's what it is for all of us, friend. You're right now going through depression, and you're thinking of foolish things that you want to do to yourself. God is saying, my child, don't. Would you allow me to step in and make the radical difference? So come, my friend, and allow God to do something wonderful. Because why? He is the true shepherd. He knows each one of us. He knows us by name. That's what it is, friends. Jesus as the gate. But secondly, friends, Jesus as a gate represents for all of us also as the legitimate leader. All right? the genuine leader. Why? Because in verses 4 and 5, this is what we read. Friends, let's read together. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they don't recognize a stranger's voice. You see here in verse 4, it says, right, when he has brought out all his, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him. And that's what it is, friends, for Middle Eastern shepherds. I prefer to call them West Asian shepherds. Why? Because West Asian shepherds, they're always in front, leading their sheep along. Unlike Western shepherds, okay, in Europe, in Britain, in America, in Australia, New Zealand. You know what? Western shepherds, where do they appear? They appear at the back of the sheep. Western shepherds all drive the sheep. Hey, why do you look at me like that? Am I talking something strange, okay? Something out of this, something that's so alien that you couldn't believe it. Look around. Just watch cowboy movies, isn't it? And see how Western shepherds operate. They always drive the sheep from the back and drive them into the pen. Friends, not very smart shepherds. If I'm a sheep, I say, you're not very smart. You drive us like crazy. You behave as if you're lions coming from the back, isn't it? Whereas, you know, my friend, if you're a good shepherd, you should be in front leading us on. And that's what it should be, isn't it? Jesus is our true legitimate leader who leads us. Your job, my job, is to follow him. And that's all that is. So when we follow Jesus, friends, I want to say we'll never go wrong. Isn't it? Never go wrong. As I said, I just flew back from speaking at the Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship, okay, in Jakarta, Indonesia, celebrating the 40th anniversary. And I spoke at the opening night. An amazing, amazing gathering of people. Second night, the governor of Jakarta came to speak. He's called Bapak Ahok, a Chinese guy, actually, who became the governor of one of the greatest cities in the whole world, a city of some 20 over million people. Amazing. And more than friends, you know, a Chinese, a Christian, a very committed Christian. And it's so good to hear his testimony. He spoke for half an hour. At the end, he takes on questions. You can ask anything. He will respond to them one by one. You can see his heart, his passion, his concern. He's so many things. He's someone, for example, who tolerates no corruption. No corruption at all, at all. And so he says to us, you know what? I was rushing from meeting to meeting, as you all know. I just rushed in for your meeting a bit late. I'm so sorry. I came from another meeting. And so I felt I need to have a shower before coming to this meeting. And you know what? I had no time. So I was there in Shangri-La Hotel. Okay? So I had a shower in Shangri-La Hotel. Okay? And the hotel manager said, sir, okay, all right, Bapa, please use it. All right? Don't worry. I said, no, I will pay for it. He paid from his own pocket, friends. You know how much it cost him? 1 million rupiah for the shower. Wow. So he said, I think I felt nice, I smelled nice after paying 1 million rupiah for my shower. Noting no corruption. Secondly, friends, no partiality, no favoritism. It upsets people. A lot of people upset. Even close friends and relatives are upset by him. See, that's what it is. Okay, no favoritism, no corruption. And as a result, you know what? There's huge pressure upon him to compromise, be able to find fault with him. Friends, can I ask you to pray for him? Not easy. He's a young man. He's only 50 years old, but bold and courageous. All right? There is pressure even right now because some of the things he said, unfortunately, has been distorted, and the Muslim quarters are using this against him, and huge demonstration to force him to resign. He says, God has not called me to resign. God has called me into this position, so I remain faithful towards him. Huge pressure upon him, all right, to try to remove him from office. His life is also under danger, all right, under attack. So pray for him, friends. You know what? So the wife said to him, your life is under danger all the time. This job is very dangerous. What if you die? The wife asked him. Well, then this Bapa Ahok say, then you become a rich widow. Then the wife said to him, what if I die? Then I remarry la. Oh, so simple one. But that's what she says. He says from the pulpit, just like that, very frankly, very honestly, it's into all of us. And one of the questions asked of him is, who is your leader, by the way? Who is that whom you imitate? And he says, in no uncertain terms, the one leader who is my hero, whom I imitate, is Jesus Christ. No other person but Jesus. Because He is the perfect one. He deserves, okay, our imitation. He deserves honor, glory, and honor. Amen. And that's what it is for all of us. Why? Because when we imitate Jesus, we never go wrong. All those agree, say. And that's what it is, friends. He is truly our legitimate leader when we follow him, friends. And that's what it's good, because why? He leads us from the front and never from the side or from the back whatsoever, friends. The third thing about Jesus is this, that he will guide us into paths of death. The third thing about Jesus is that he's the eternal Savior. Jesus is the eternal Savior. And so verse 9, okay, again, of John chapter 10, it says here, I am the gate. Whoever enters to me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. All right? Whoever enters to me will be saved. And this is another understanding of the Greek. The Greek can also firstly imply, I'll be kept safe. But the second implication of this Greek is that I'll be saved, meaning I'll experience salvation. I'll experience eternal salvation, as I said. That when Jesus, who is the gate, he's the person who offers us his salvation forever and ever. And that's why, friends, you know, Jesus could say later, right, in John chapter 10, in verse 28, the first part of it, Jesus says like this, let's read together, church. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Jesus offers life everlasting, and we shall never, never perish, meaning that we'll live forever. So that our life on earth is a journey that takes us on into the next life, and the next life, okay, in the presence of Jesus, even more glorious, more wonderful. Can you go amen for that, isn't it? That death is only a gateway to a greater life and a much more wonderful life for all of us, isn't it? And he comes to offer this eternal life for each and everyone. And friends, you know, Jesus has come to deal with what? To deal with sin and shame and condemnation and whatever else that will, right, cause us, right, not to live in the will and the purpose of God. And that's why, friends, in Jesus, we find that whatever kind of condemnation, accusation that is brought against us is nullified in a powerful manner. And that's what Apostle Paul writes to us like this in Romans chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. Church, let's read together. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. And that's why Jesus comes, friends. He deals with sin and shame. He deals with all the things, okay, that will destroy us. And that's the purpose of Satan. But friend, Jesus has come to remove all that from all of us, so that in Jesus, therefore, there is no condemnation. For the law of the Spirit of life has set us free from the law of sin and death. And that's our reality. And that's our joy. That's our privilege. And all God's people say, he comes to offer us eternal salvation, so that we have no fear whatsoever about death. As I said, death is just a gateway to a greater life. And that's the reason why sometimes when I speak to non-Christian audience, like when I speak at a funeral recently, I said, there are three things we all have to deal with because we're all faced with death this morning. All right? In this wonderful center. There are three things and three questions that we all need to deal with. Firstly, why is it we all have to die? Secondly, why is it we all don't want to die? Amen. Hey, you all want to die quickly, is that right? We all naturally want to live long life, isn't it? It's normal, it's natural. Any one of us want to die early? I'm going to pray for you afterwards. It's normal, we're going to live as long as possible. So that, friends, you know, even when Prophet Isaiah was sent by God to tell King Hezekiah, this wonderful godly king, you know, Hezekiah, get your act together. You're going to die very, very soon, isn't it? And then Hezekiah walked up from the presence of King Hezekiah. You know what? As he walked up from the presence of King Hezekiah, we find Hezekiah cried and prayed to God, God, have mercy upon me. Help me, forgive me, whatever wrongs I've done. You know, I've been a good king, a fairly reasonable king. How can I die so young and so quickly? Before Isaiah could go home, God spoke to Isaiah. Now go back and tell Hezekiah, God has heard your cries. You shall live 15 more years. How many of us want to live at least 15 more years? See your hands. Hey, not many hands. You're in trouble, okay? I love to live at least 20 years, 25 years, 30 years, as long as possible, isn't it? Of course, provided one condition. Provided we are healthy and strong. Hello? Okay, provided we're healthy and strong. Amen. I don't have one eye left, one tooth left, one leg left, and live on, okay, into the 80s. Crazy, isn't it? We're going to be healthy and strong. And therefore, friends, can I say, to be healthy and strong, exercise regularly. Hello? I can see all guilt-ridden faces now this morning. Exercise regularly. Eat reasonably. Exercise regularly. And that's the reason I'm serious about it. That's why I told the architect to design a gym here in UMC. You know, there's a gym here in Dream Center. And we encourage you to use it. As long as you're a member of UMC, as long as you come here to worship regularly, you can use it. Outsiders cannot use it. Only one thing outsiders cannot use. Everything else in UMC, outsiders can all use. Why? Because this center is built for the community. Can a good amen for that? All right? Anything can be used by outsiders. And that's what it is, except the gym. You know why the gym? Because gym equipment, they're so fragile. Amen, isn't it? So fragile. And so therefore, for the sake of not having to repair this constantly, right, we just limited the church members. Why? Because membership got privileges. But friends, can I say, non-membership got greater privileges, really, here in Dream Center, because it's a non-membership. Use anything, of course, except the gym, but anything else can be used. And you know what? We got people coming here to use our concourse. It's free Wi-Fi, even right now, free Wi-Fi in this very hall. We decide not to try, okay, to remove Wi-Fi from this hall now. Why? Because some of you, without Wi-Fi, you will die one. Isn't it? Everywhere you go, what's a Wi-Fi password? What's the first thing, isn't it? All right? And that's the kind of world we live in. That's the reality of it also. So this whole place is Wi-Fi, okay, available. Anyone can come. And we've got non-Christians, friends, coming to our concourse, sit there and work day and night. There's a Japanese lady I met some time ago. Hi, what's your name? And I was surprised to discover she's a Japanese. She said, you don't mind? I come here to work. I said, are you a Christian? No, I'm not a Christian. Can I use it? I said, of course, this place is available, all right, to anyone, everyone. And so the German couple came. And I walked them, senior couple, and I walked them around, explained to them about this place and how this place has been used by the public and so on and so forth. She said, the wife said, my goodness, you mean you open this place up so publicly? I said, yeah. So she said, you know what, won't things get spoiled? I said, of course, things will get spoiled. Amen, isn't it? So I tell our folks, things don't only get spoiled, things get stolen some more. You know, our shower set, okay, when we first put our gym together, next to it is a shower set, okay, in our sports complex. The whole shower set was stolen. Okay, see your neighbor, he's not talking about me. Whoever steals it, bless his heart, isn't it? We're going to pray that God will convict them. He will come to faith in Christ, okay, in a one. But so I tell our folks, okay, never mind. If things, okay, very simple. If things get spoiled, just repair it. If things get stolen, just replace it. Hello? Is that okay? Don't tell them you're not permitted to come anymore. Don't do that. We want to open this place and welcome as many people as possible. Why? Because here in this place, the dreams of every person can come alive. Hey, not very convincing, okay? Here in Dream Center, okay, give a big hand to the Lord. All our dreams, whatever dreams we have, will come alive. Even your broken dreams, shattered dreams, come to this place, Dream Center, where shattered dreams can live again. Amen, isn't it? So not only where dreams come alive, where shattered dreams, broken dreams can live again. That's what this place is designed for, honestly. So come every week, friends, all right? Your life will be lived with a sense of meaning and purpose for all of us. So Jesus as our gate, friends, it represents a person who is the true shepherd. Secondly, who is a legitimate leader. Thirdly, as we see for every one of us, He is someone already that offers for every one of us, okay, eternal salvation. But fourth and finally, He is someone, friends, for all of us, who is an abundant life giver. He offers us abundant life. And so verse 10, this is what it says, the final verse of Scripture. Church, come, let's read aloud together. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Friends, isn't it amazing? Jesus Christ comes, He does not only offer us eternal life, He offers abundant life, life in all its fullness, life that is unimaginable, really, unimaginable. How many of you are living such lives? Can you see your hands? How many of you are living such lives? It is so good, so wonderful. Okay, quite a number of hands, but not every hand. We're going to pray for all the rest of you. But seriously, friends, as we journey with Jesus, maybe somebody, because you're younger, you're not yet there, but I want to assure you, friends, when you walk with Jesus and continue to keep Jesus the center of your life, continue to follow Him, imitate Him, and do everything that is pleasing before Him, as well as read His Word and live by His Word, I assure you, friends, very soon you will come to a place whereby you sit back and you say, God, I cannot thank you enough. Cannot thank you enough indeed for the kind of life that I've experienced. And I'm going to show you, my friend, you will come to that place, a position like this. That these days and times, for example, I sit back many times, I look back, I'm so grateful to God for what he has done. Someone from a poor background, someone from a small little kampong somewhere. Aitawa, what is that? What good can come up from Aitawa? Some good things can so come up from Sitiawa. Hello? Say amen and encourage us, isn't it? Whatever hometown, small town, no town, because you come from a small little fishing village, my friends, good things can come up when we walk with the Lord, isn't it? We walk faithfully, live transparently and accountably, and also journey humbly before God, open for teaching and correction. When people say to us, my friend, we just get back on the right track. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am, I will do that. Friends, when we're humble, when we're obedient, we're open for correction, we're open for teaching, whatever else, I will show you, my friend, when you can make Jesus the center of our life, you and I will come to a place whereby you are so grateful to God, so amazingly thankful to God. And that's what it is. And that's what fullness of life is all about. But friends, can I say to you this? When you come to that place, don't keep it to yourself. This abundant life and living is not for us only, friends. It is for everyone in this world. And they're so important, isn't it? All right? It is a huge mistake, if not a crime, friends, to keep this eternal life, this abundant life, just to ourselves and for our enjoyment. Jesus never made it like this, friends. So I'm going to challenge you, church. Reach out to the world. All right? Reach out. Show the love of Jesus. Demonstrate the love of Jesus. Share the love with as many as possible, with the poor, with the needy, with the marginalized, friends. There are great needs in this world, friends. And that's my challenge to those people at the Full Gospel Business Convention in Jakarta. All right? After hearing testimony after testimony about how they have been blessed, how well they are doing. And some of these are tycoons of Indonesia. And some tycoons can become typhoons, amen? Isn't it? But we want to journey with them and help them. I challenge them at the end. You know, my friends, as God has blessed you, if you experience eternal life, abundant life and living, my friend, take it out to the world, share with the poor and the needy. Reach out also to the high and the mighty. But the poor and the needy are in great needs, isn't it? Of encountering, experiencing Jesus in a wonderful manner. And so, church, I want to challenge you as I challenge them at the end there. I say, my friend, I want to pray for all of you tonight as I say to them. Take the gospel of Jesus Christ out. Show the love of Jesus to the poor and the needy. Show the love of Jesus also to the rich and the mighty. If they have not known Jesus, they all need him. They all need to encounter him. They only to come to a place whereby they will experience life in all eternity, but also life in all its fullness, my friend. So at the end, I challenge them, set a number, my friend, as you all know, and I do this constantly, everywhere I go around the world, as you all know here in UMC, better than anyone else, set a number as to how many you lead to faith in Christ, and then see them being discipled, become a responsible member of the body of Christ, and then they in turn reach out to win the world for Jesus, isn't it? All right, and I just challenge them at a certain number. I said, don't care what number, think about it, which the president, all right, said to all of them, I would like to see, you know what, our fellowship right now, and there are over 700 chapters across Indonesia, one of the largest in the whole world, really, you know, over 700 chapters. And the president, before he stepped down, he says, I want to see all of you multiplying yourself in the next year. I said, that's fantastic, that's wonderful. And that's my challenge. I say to all of them the same as well. My challenge, every one of you will lead one to Christ. Imagine over 2,000 of you here gathered right today. If everyone will lead one to Christ in 12 months, it has grown to 4,000, then 8,000, okay, then 16,000. And it goes on and on like this, isn't it? And as I told you, if I'm much younger, not that I'm very old, I will start a church like this. First year, I reach one, win one to Christ. Next year, two of us go out. Each one of us win one to Christ. I disciple all three. Following year, four of us go out. Each one of us win one to Christ. I disciple all seven. All right, so from first year, two, then four, then eight, then 16, then 32. You know the answer. It only takes 33 years to win a world of 7 billion people to Christ. My friends, only 33 years is needed. That's all there is. Jesus says the harvest is plentiful, Matthew chapter 9. Jesus also says in John chapter 4, the harvest is ripe. Do not say 4 months more and then the harvest. Open your eyes, look at the fields, they are ripe for harvest, John chapter 4, verse 35. Friends, harvest is plentiful, harvest is ripe. 2,000 years ago, Jesus says this, and 2,000 years later, we are far, far from finishing the job. You know, friends, we need much to repent, confess when we see Jesus one day, that we've all not been doing our job. That if we're winning people to Christ, just to lead one to Christ a year, that's all there is. Just lead one to Christ a year in 33 years. Just one person starting, you'll finish your job. What if there's so many of us here this morning? So I want to challenge you, my friend. I know pastors have been challenged, and especially nowadays, I want to focus on pastors. Why? Because sadly, sometimes pastors never share Jesus and lead people to faith in Christ. They're so busy with their ministry. They're not involved in sharing Jesus. And this senior pastor, after he heard me say, and he checked with his own pastor, and found out some of his pastors have never led people to faith, he was so upset with all of them. And he says, "No, you better listen to Daniel Ho's sermon that he just preached to us here." What a tragedy, right? Because we as shepherds, if we're not leading people to faith in Christ, we have no longer any authority and authenticity to challenge people, isn't it? But I pray, church, we all do this. Can a good amen for that? And so that's my challenge to them. And that's my challenge to all of you likewise. Every one of us set a number. And finally, at the end, this gentleman came up to me. He's a leader of a movement and a growing movement. He came up to me and said, "Pastor Daniel, I heard your challenge and I set a number. I just called my wife tonight and I told my wife, we have been challenged so much and Pastor Daniel's whole challenge us. So I set a number," and he told the wife number. I said, "So what's your number?" "Hey, cannot tell you. Oh, that's only meant for my wife." He said, "Tell me, Osola." So I pressed him hard. Finally, he said, "Pastor Daniel, 5 lah, 5. I said, "That's very good. Very, very good indeed. Really, I want to really, you know, appreciate you and encourage you to do that." He says, "I want to be realistic. Even though I'm leader of a growing movement, an important movement around the world, that kind of thing. I want to be realistic. I want to set huge numbers. Neither do I want to set just one only." It is, I shared this in SIBKL, all right, 2 years ago. And I challenged him at the end. As Pastor Chu asked me to challenge, I challenged at the end to set a number. So at the end, when they all went back, he went back home with his wonderful, lovely wife, Pastor Lee Chu. And Pastor Lee Chu, the wife, asked her husband, "So what's the number that Daniel Ho challenges about?" All right. And he said to the wife, 2. He said, "Shame on you. Only 2. How can? Pastor Daniel said 50. You said only 2. How can?" "Hey, wait, go slow, go slow. For me, think big, but start smaller. Isn't it? Build deep and fly high and last long. That's the way it is. Whatever number, it does not matter. But let's do something." He said, "Okay, pray. I want to pray for all of us." But before praying for all of us, friends, let's come to God right now. Let's come to God and allow God to speak to us, to minister to us. Let's allow God to do something very deep. If you're not yet led anyone to Christ, think about a number. Whatever number, it does not matter. It could be just one, and that's good enough. Start somewhere. Start somewhere. I want to pray for you all. And that's important for all of us, my friends. But before that, I want to pray. Maybe this morning as we gather here, maybe there's some of us who have not yet known Jesus as Lord and Savior. We have not encountered Jesus. My friend, I want to say to you, asking Jesus to come into your life, surrendering your life to Jesus, I want to assure you, this is the best thing you can ever do in your life. Inviting Jesus to come into your life is the best decision you can ever make in your life. It has got eternal, everlasting consequences. It is not only life here on earth. It goes on beyond life on earth into the presence of God forever and ever. And that's what heaven is all about. And so you've never taken the step of faith to trust in Christ. I want to pray for you, my friend, this morning, with heads bowed and eyes closed. That in your heart, you've never personally taken the step of faith. That you don't know Jesus really in your heart. Or maybe you have known Jesus, heard about Him, but never taken the step of faith. My friend, can I urge and encourage you and challenge you? Would you do that this morning? Do that this morning. When God speaks, my friends, sometimes it's a moment of time. The Bible says, now is the time. Today is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow, not day after. Because when God quickens our hearts, sometimes it is for that moment of time when we don't respond, we miss that important, opportune moment. So we hit our eyes closed this morning and say yes to Jesus. And saying yes to Jesus just involves four simple steps. Because Jesus, Son of God, He's without sin. And only He can deal with our sins. It is firstly, my friends, acknowledging you're a sinner. And all of us are, including myself, all of us are sinners. We've done wrong, much wrong. Seeing no need for God in itself is a sin, it's wrong. Why? Because Jesus has come. And Jesus has paid the price on the cross for you and I, for the whole world. And so therefore it begins with first to acknowledge you're a sinner. Second, believe that Jesus, the Son of God, the one without sin, He went to the cross to die for your sin, my sin, the sin of the whole world. Thirdly, to ask Him to forgive you of your sin. And then fourthly, invite Him into your life as Lord and Savior. Just four simple steps of faith. And that's how, my friend, you become a child of God. Because Jesus, then by His Holy Spirit, steps into your life. And from that moment onwards, He walks with you forever and ever. You can talk to Him. And that's what prayer is all about. Just talking to Him. And He wants to take you on in this ride of your life. So are you ready, my friend? At the count of three, wherever you're seated, downstairs, upstairs, wherever you're seated, at the count of three, we'll raise up a hand as a sign to God, saying yes to Jesus. Please come into my life. Are you ready? One, two, and three. Can I see your hands? Anyone here? All right, firstly, downstairs. Is there anyone? I want to pray for you. Is anyone? What about up in the gallery? Upstairs, yes, thank you. Yes, anybody else? Would you keep your hands high up so I can see your hand? I want to pray for you. Is anyone upstairs? Thank you, thank you. Yes, yes, another hand. Anyone else? Those who put up their hands, can I ask you to follow after me this prayer? Okay, and the church, will you join in as well? Whole church, to encourage these people to put up their hands. Say after me, would you? All right, this prayer. Lord Jesus Christ.
Lord Jesus Christ.
I thank and praise you.
I thank and praise
that you are good and wonderful.
You are good.
Lord Jesus Christ,
Lord Jesus Christ,
I want to say that I'm a sinner,
that, I'm a sinner,
that I believe
you
died on a cross
for
my sins.
My sin.
Please forgive me of my sins. And right now, I ask you to come into my life, to be my Lord and my Savior. Take control of my life. Fill me with the Holy Spirit and give me your power to live as a Christian, as a child of yours from today onwards. Give me your love, peace, and joy so that I'll live this life with the grace of yours. Thank you, Jesus. In your wonderful name I pray. Lord, seal it in the hearts of the lives of these people who pray this prayer. Whether they raise up their hand or not, you know it all, Lord. Wherever the prayer is prayed sincerely, Spirit of God, just come, O God, and touch and minister to these people. Quicken their hearts and their spirits, O God, that these will come alive to you, live for you, honor and glorify your name. And continue to draw them to come here to the fellowship of people. We're to pray, Father, we'll help them to integrate in the life of the cell group into the life of the church, O God, so they begin to learn and grow as a follower, as a disciple of Christ. So grow strong. I pray, Father, use this to reach out, also share with our friends, neighbors, relatives as well, and colleagues, oh God. And draw many of these to faith in Christ, Father, I pray. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father, in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Shall we stand to sing this closing song?